Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Are you the one? Sending insiders back to Washington just to change different chairs, that's not going to get the job done. I think you have to have somebody from outside Washington who has proven that he can get the job done in one setting after another.
Mitt Romney last night was not the one. He was the two, however, and as he put it in former Olympic chairman's terms, he won the silver yet again. Obama, also a runner-up.
We always knew our climb would be steep, but in record numbers, you came out and you spoke up for change. And with your voices and your votes, you made it clear that at this moment, in this election, there is something happening in America.
And joining me now is a supporter of Barack Obama. He is Paul Hodes, a congressman from New Hampshire who had endorsed Senator Obama. Congressman Hodes, thanks so much for coming on with us. Hello from New York.
Good morning. How are you? I actually pronounce it Hodes.
Hodes, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So what do you think happened?
Well, you know, New Hampshire voters are relentlessly independent. And I think we take special pleasure up here in making sure that we confound pundits and don't necessarily follow expectations. And it was a very hard-fought campaign. The Clinton Organization deserves a great deal of credit for running a great campaign. And from Barack Obama's end, who would have thought that just a few weeks ago he would have won the Iowa caucus and battled to a near tie in New Hampshire?
In terms of electability, do you think he would be more vulnerable in a general election than Senator Clinton? You know, we already have the New York State Republican Party, some of the officials, talking to the New York Post and saying, look, Obama is more liberal than Clinton on a number of issues, including driver's licenses for illegal immigrants. His social stands actually are more of a throwback to the 60s than hers are. Talk to me about electability.
I actually think the opposite is true in terms of that sense. I think in many ways, Barack Obama has an appeal to cross lines of the parties. His appeal to independents and Republicans is very strong.
And we certainly saw that in the first two campaigns here, at least among independents who could vote in either primary in New Hampshire and either caucus in Iowa. And we see how well Obama did with that group.
That's correct. And even though Mrs. Clinton did very well with the Democratic base here in New Hampshire, the independents were split between McCain and Obama. And many of them took Democratic ballots and voted for Obama here. And I think that's an important trend around the country, where increasingly people are calling themselves independent or certainly independent-minded because of what they perceive as the gridlock in Washington.
All right. We'll see what happens next. Congressman Hodes in New Hampshire for Barack Obama. Thanks for coming on with us.
You bet.
And now Congressman Weiner in New York for Hillary Clinton. That's Anthony Weiner, congressman from Brooklyn and Queens, and a supporter of Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign. Congressman Weiner, thanks a lot for coming back on with us. Hello.
Thank you very much. Forgive my voice. I'm a little bit exhausted this morning from shouting and yelling last night.
You were shouting and yelling, and boy, was there shouting and yelling at Clinton headquarters. And in her victory speech, the senator said she listened to New Hampshire and found her own voice. But is that Senator Clinton reinventing herself yet again?
You know, Brian, there's an important place for punditry this morning, but it could just be that what happened was less than meets the eye, not more than meets the eye. It could just be that Hillary Clinton's notion about this race being about choosing a leader of the free world, choosing the next president based on qualifications, based on experience, based on specifics of their proposals. It really did happen in New Hampshire, and I don't know if it was a reinventing or as people paid more attention, but something clearly broke through. But I think that what happened is this race is framed up now. I mean, Hillary Clinton is in the race of her life against an extraordinarily talented politician. I mean, Barack Obama has done a remarkable job, and his supporters this is going to be a long campaign. I think it's one that's going to be great for the party and ultimately great for New York. But I think it is clear that the more people, and we saw this in New York in 2000, the more people see Hillary Clinton and listen to her and kind of really get a chance to probe her ideas and think about the future of the country and her ideas to deal with it, she does better. She always does.
So does it become harder for her now? Because I know everybody says she's always great face-to-face, up close, a warmth that she has comes through in those situations in a way maybe it doesn't in the media. But the retail politics of New Hampshire and Iowa are over now, and now it is going to be all television for the most part for people in 24 states on February 5th and a few along the way.
Well, I got to tell you something. I think that one of the turning points in the campaign in New Hampshire was a TV event, and that was the debate, when she had a chance in a longer form to kind of talk about her ideas. And people, I think, saw a contrast. They saw such an experienced leader. They saw someone that had fully thought through very nuanced ideas. They saw someone who had two of her opponents attacking her kind of at once, and they saw her stand in there with strength and with poise. So I'm not sure this notion that any place is a true retail place. I mean, I think, I was knocking on doors the next morning. I had nine people, including two men, surprisingly, say to me, volunteer, that they changed their mind about the election based on her performance in the debate. So she's good up close, but she's also good when under pressure. And I think what might have happened is that people got a chance to watch her in kind of a slightly different context, and that is her as someone who is fighting, and someone who is fighting for her campaign, but also fighting for what's important to the American people. And I think they liked that fight.
Congressman Anthony Weiner of Brooklyn and Queens supporting Hillary Clinton. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
And with us now is New Jersey State Senator Joe Carillos. He's from the 13th Legislative District. That's parts of Monmouth and Middlesex counties. And he is the New Jersey State Chair of the Romney campaign. Senator, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Brian, good morning to you. Good to be with you.
So Romney was supposed to win Iowa and win in New Hampshire. What happened?
Well, they were disappointments. The expectations game is amazing to me, and I think to Americans across the country, because you have a great candidate like Mitt Romney who beats Fred Thompson in Iowa 2-1, beats John McCain 4-1, beats Rudy Giuliani 6-1, comes in second, a place that didn't know his name, say, 11 months ago, but somehow it's counted as a big loss, and I understand that that's the way it is. It is the reality, this expectations game. But it really is peculiar to so many Americans out there when they stop and think about it. The Iowa thing, in retrospect, is not surprising. Half the primary election voters there on the Republican side are evangelical Christians, and that's why Mike Huckabee won. Last night, we beat Rudy Giuliani, beat Fred Thompson, beat Mike Huckabee.
One thing that's hardly been noted, Fred Thompson got 1% in New Hampshire last night.
While on the board there, didn't even rack up 1,000 votes. Look, John McCain is a great candidate, great senator. He's been campaigning in New Hampshire as if he was running for governor, won there, of course, in 2000. And, as Mitt said, he won the gold.
Your candidate seems to have, he won the silver, but, oh, McCain won the gold, right. Your candidate seems to have a credibility problem and an authenticity problem with many voters. People maybe don't trust his word after things like he was endorsed by the NRA and he was a lifelong hunter, both untrue, and the way he appears to some people like a too slick Ken doll, as some have put it. How about that problem?
Let me answer that, but let me also throw in there that the first primary of the country, a big caucus event in any case, was Wyoming, where Mitt won decisively over the weekend, and a contest largely ignored. But getting to your point, I think that the people, when they meet this guy, when they see him in pressure situations like the Fox debate Sunday night, they really come away hugely impressed by his sincerity, by his authenticity, by his record of accomplishment, his experience. He is an absolutely super guy, and he has been unfairly tagged with this flip-flop label. He has changed his position on abortion. It's always tough in this kind of political environment, it seems to me, to go from left to right as he did on that subject.
And on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and a bunch of other things.
The only thing. You know, what's amazing to me is John McCain can vote against the Bush tax cut on the Senate floor one day. A few months later, he wants to erase that vote. That's not a flip-flop. Look, I think it's an unfair rap. I think it has stuck to some degree, and I think that as people, you know, get to know Mitt Romney, if they have that opportunity post Michigan, and through these primary states to get to know the man,
Senator. But your phone is breaking up, and so before you go for just a minute, do you want to give me a quick reaction to Governor Corzine's toll hike proposal from the State of the State yesterday? We're going to talk about that and more detail later in the show, but as you know, the governor says he's basically got no choice with all this debt, and give me another option if you have one.
Well, listen to me. The governor's right about this. We got to change the culture in New Jersey. We got to do something about the way we borrow. We got to do something about the way we spend money, because we can't sustain the course we're on. However, this plan the governor unveiled yesterday is a massive borrowing scheme, $40 billion of borrowing, financed by a road tax that will more than quadruple, fivefold someone's toll increase out on the parkway or the turnpike, and it's borrowing money to pay the debts from past borrowing. It is, to me, sophistry to say we're gonna erase the debt of New Jersey by amassing even more debt. So it is, I think, a very flawed plan. I want to try to keep an open mind on you know, anything that's seriously put out there as important public policy from the governor. But I don't like what I see, Brian.
State Senator Joe Carrillos from parts of Monmouth and Middlesex counties, the state chair of the Romney campaign in New Jersey. Thanks a lot for coming on with us. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Brian.